love that sort of bit actually in Nehemiah, you know, where they talk about they'd done the job, they built it. But the next bit when they said they stood in the center of the city there, and the priest sort of brought the word of God, and it says everybody stood and just worshipped as the word of God brought. But they didn't come just for like a service. They were there nearly all day long, you know, just reading the word and washing over. It's great. Anyway, that was good. Haley, is it? Are you Haley? Okay, you're Haley. That's right. Good. Just wanted to tell you something, by the way. As you were leading communion, because my pastor's heart, you know, I'm thinking, oh yeah, you know, I need to go and, you know, lay hands on her and sort of just pray, you know, for healing. But it's an interesting thing. God said to me, no, don't, because he gave me a vision. As you pressed forward and you did communion and did that anyway, in the midst of that, a greater hand reached out. And as you were in the middle of that, I saw the hand of God resting on your head, okay, as you pressed through and served him regardless of your circumstances. So, you know, just thought I'd give you that little vision that I got. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your ministry into our lives. I thank you for your presence, that we live a living God. And I pray right now as I preach, Lord, certainly, you know, I've prepared, I've tried to listen to you, that's fine. But right now, Lord, I pray an anointing on each and every individual here, that you would anoint their ears right now, that they would hear from you what you have to say to them. I pray, Lord, that you would help me in my delivery, Lord, and I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Last year, I was actually watching a series on Netflix, and it was that AD Kingdom and Empire. Don't know if you've seen it before, but it's basically the story of Jesus Christ and his disciples. And obviously, that's a man's interpretation and a movie. But in the midst of it, there was some great stuff, you know, that really makes you think. And there was one particular scene that I remember, and it was the scene where the disciples were in that room after Jesus had been crucified. And they really kind of showed the picture that these disciples must have been really scared. You know, they had the Roman soldiers, you know, roaming everywhere, going throughout the city, trying to find these troublemakers, these people that were causing an uproar in Jerusalem. Not only that, but there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their own henchmen searching everywhere for them. And so here they are cowering in this room, wondering what in the heck is going on here. Their Savior, the Lord, had been crucified. He was dead. They saw him dead. And here they are in this room waiting when suddenly Jesus appears amongst them. It would have been quite a moment. Like, you know, we're here and we can enjoy, you know, making as much noise as we like out here in Oberon and all the music. But back then it would be like, you know, they'd be a little bit quiet, I'd imagine. They wouldn't want to make too much noise, too much disturbance, because they'd draw attention to themselves. You know, it's not like they're saying, we don't care, we're going to make noise, you know. They're scared. But in the midst of that, Jesus appears in the room. And I want to read a bit to you from John 20 and verse 21. And it reads, Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. I think that's a good way to start considering the state they were in. Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Then he took a deep breath and he breathed into them, receive the Holy Spirit. That sentence I found to be an amazing sentence. Right here, Jesus Christ says, he took a deep breath, he breathed into them, receive the Holy Spirit. That particular sentence has a great deal of significance to me in my own personal walk, in my search for the power of God, in my search for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That sentence had great significance for me. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. But let me hop now to just after I had watched this movie, and we went to church one day, and I'm enjoying the fact that my mother and father are in church with us at the moment, and they were there last year. My dad is a stoic Scot, brought up in the Church of Scotland, you know, all his life, basically. He's now in our church, which is a big jump from the Presbyterian church into a Pentecostal church for a Stoic Scot. And Dad has a lovely, genuine faith. But he sometimes struggled a little bit, you know, with the outward nature, let's say, of the Pentecostal church and the supernatural of God. And yet, after church, Dad came up to me this day. And he said to me, Andrew, he said, I had the most amazing experience. Whilst the preacher was preaching, I saw a vision. My heart leapt. Yeah. I thought, thank you, Lord. And so I said, Dad, tell me about it. What was it? And he said, I was listening to the sermon, and suddenly, he said, I was outside in the bush somewhere. It was a dark night, and I saw a fire in front of me, but it had died down, and it was just smoldering. And so I walked towards it and got close to the fire. But as I looked through the fire and I sort of got close to it, he said, I saw Jesus Christ walking towards me from the other side. And as he got closer, he actually bent down on the opposite side of the fire, took a deep breath and went onto the fire. And he said, the fire just burst into flame right there in front of me. And I said, Dad, praise God. I said, right there, I don't know what exactly is going to go on in the next while in your life, but right there, I believe Jesus is saying to you that he is breathing a fresh impartation of Holy Spirit into your life to empower you for what is ahead. He wants you to have a renewal in your own life and blow onto what could be smoldering embers in your own life. Yeah. My dad received that word, and it's been amazing. It has been a rather difficult last 6 or 7 months since that time. But in it all, my dad has had a faith that has been unshakable. What I love about it is my dad is 85 years of age. And the power of God and his ability to speak into each of our individual situations and to empower us is completely devoid of any sort of, choice that it goes to a small child, to an older, you know, gentleman or woman. It doesn't matter. God can reach out to each and every one of us in our situations wherever we are. And so from that, I kind of thought, okay, I want to explore a little bit more that the power of the Holy Spirit has been a big part of my life and my walk with God. And I really sort of love the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I said, what was Jesus's perspective? Let's go back to John 16 and verse 7. Reading to you from the Amplified here. Jesus speaking. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Right there. I think that was an amazing thing that Jesus would have said to the disciples. We are talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, who was at creation speaking very existence of the universe and the world. Right there, he's saying, I have to go away so that something else can come. It says, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. That is Jesus' perspective. Now, when it talks about Holy Spirit, often it says Jesus' Spirit is with you. So it's not like we've said, goodbye, Jesus. We've now got some other thing that's here. Because Jesus Christ is, in a sense, Holy Spirit himself. They're three in one. And I think sometimes people have a trouble saying, praying to Holy Spirit or experiencing Holy Spirit when maybe I should be talking to Jesus. There's no difference. They are all one and the same. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, Holy Spirit. They are one and the same. Wow, what a concept that Jesus said, I have to go. Because you've got to understand that Jesus was a man at that point, bound by flesh into one place at one time. And he said, I have to go because I want the entire world to have me. I want the entire world to experience me. And that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes after me. We know that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell the story of Jesus Christ and of the disciples. And each of them has their own particular slant on it, told through their own personality, by empowered by God, obviously. But each has a bit of a different flow on it. And in that one, we just saw John's particular perspective, that he brought out that point when Jesus came and he breathed on them. The Holy Spirit entered into the disciples. But then it's interesting when you go to Luke. Luke actually brings out a different perspective in that same place, at that same time. Reading to you from Acts, of course, which Luke wrote. Acts 1 and verse 4. As they met and they ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem. And this is, of course, after Jesus had raised, before he was ascended. He spoke to them and he said, but you must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me, John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. Now, when I read that, this is my conundrum. This was my confusion, because I had just come out of the Presbyterian Church at that time, and the particular place I was in had taught me that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was of the devil. And so I had a lot of baggage to get over. And yet in me, there was this yearning inside me to experience more than what I had in my life. I knew there had to be a power of God. And right there, I've read in John that Jesus had breathed Holy Spirit into the disciples. And yet I'm reading in Luke that Jesus then went on to say, but wait, there's more. I want you to wait for something to happen. Holy Spirit's going to come. And I'm thinking, but he's already come. He's already living in me. But Jesus, yeah, but there's a difference. There's something else that's coming. And that was the thing, I suppose, that gave me the impetus in my life to seek after God to discover what this thing was. And I can tell you that although I already had, and I understand that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, right then and there, Holy Spirit enters into our lives. That we are saved with the Holy Spirit in our lives as the guarantee of that salvation. But God says, I want much more for you. I want you to walk in the power of God. I want you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be equipped, not just saved and ready for heaven, but I want you to be equipped to go to heaven. And that's what I want for you. My Savior had breathed on each of them. But now the Spirit wanted to come and empower them in a whole new way. The Holy Spirit was never supposed to be just a guarantee of salvation to sit inside of you. Now, if you're an old person and say you're on your deathbed and you've never been saved and you give your life to the Lord, great. You've got the Holy Spirit, you're going to heaven. We certainly learned that through the thief on the cross. He didn't have time to serve God or to, you know, do anything or bring anybody else to the Lord. He just basically was thankful that Jesus had said, today you will be with me in paradise. So that was fantastic. But what I have discovered, that Jesus wants us to have more than just a life with a guarantee of eternity. That's great. Praise God for that. But he wants us to be his army right here on earth. He wants us to impact this world. He wants us to walk in his power so that we can influence people around us, our wives, our husbands, our children, our friends, anybody that we come across. That story that you told before, when you stand with a person and they tell you a problem, what do? We sort of go, oh, well, you know, that's a shame that the girl can't sleep, you know, sort of good on you, goodbye. Or did that at that time, do you wait for the Holy Spirit to speak in your ear and say to you, you know what? I've got an answer. And if you would just in faith hear my voice and be able to give them what I'm saying, I can actually touch their lives. Because see, that's what Jesus wants. He wants us in every conversation we have. And I've got to tell you, I praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit in my marriage, because it has saved me many times in situations where he has said to me, don't say that. Or do say this, or do that. I tell you what, he walks with us. And so praise God, Dan, that you did, and somebody's life was impacted as a result of that. because you listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not just this guarantee of salvation, but an exciting journey that we walk on. Acts 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." That's what he wants. Now, I want to give you three analogies, three little stories here to kind of accentuate the point. I went last year and I bought Susan a new car. When I went there, it was actually Sinclair Motors at Penrith, and they now, of course, have Mustangs. And because that's the Australian version. Whenever I go there to get my car serviced, there's always a Mustang sitting there. And I think, oh, wow, beautiful looking cars. And so I'm going to give you this analogy. Let's say you went to the car dealer and you walked in and you said, "I want to buy a new car. I'm cashed up and I have my eye on that red Mustang that's right there. It will look fantastic in my driveway. And so, here's the money, give me the car, but I don't want a motor in it. All I want is the car, because I'm going to put it in my driveway and it's going to look fantastic sitting in my driveway. Everybody's going to see, whoa, red Mustang." Okay, second analogy. I'm cashed up. I want to buy that lovely red Mustang in that showroom there. And I tell you what, I'm going to get the car. It's got a motor that sounds beautiful. I believe somebody was talking about this the other day, and they went through about 70 different types of mufflers so they could get the note. So Joe's a bit of a car lover, and Dan, and they'd know this. Get the note, you know, that was the Mustang note. And so I want the motor. That's very important. And I want to get a full tank of fuel as well before I take it out of this place. Jump in my car, drive away, drive it until the tank of fuel runs out. But then I never take the effort or the cost to put another tank of fuel in it. Third analogy, same thing, get the car, get the motor, get the tank of fuel, drive it. But I'm going to look after this thing for the rest of my life. I'm going to make sure I never allow this thing to run out of petrol, because that's not good for a car. I'm going to make sure I fill it up with the right fuel, I get this thing serviced, and I'm going to keep this thing going so it can take me to exciting places and have fun along the way as I go. So obviously you're probably way ahead of me here. But I want to now go back over those three analogies. See, some people, they like the show. They like to say, well, I go to church. I even carry a Bible under my arms. You know, but it's interesting when we start to talk about people that have their faith just as a bit of a show, that Jesus actually has something to say about this. Or Paul does. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5, it says, "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. And I suppose for me, what had happened when I was back in that church prior, I could see lots of people who lovely in themselves and came to church, but I knew their lives. I knew what was going on behind the scenes. One of our elders was a 31st degree Mason who believed that Jesus Christ was the brother of, so Satan was the brother of Jesus. He was one of the elders at the church at the time, you know. And so, you know, in this, it's saying it's not enough to have the trappings and come along. There has to be a power in your life that is from God. And as somebody said before, Jesus says you will know them by the fruit in their life. I wanted to have fruit. I wanted people to be able to see God. I wanted to see Jesus Christ in my life. And I wanted to have a thing that was experiencing that. In the second analogy, many people will get saved, and they will have a genuine experience, and they will get fired up for God. But it all seems to peter out too quick. You know, the one thing I've learned, and I've been a Christian for 43 years now, been ministering for over 30 years of my life, and one thing I have found out, that it takes effort. It takes cost in our lives to keep our faith alive and to keep it going. It's not by works, because it's by faith alone and by God. But we have to position ourselves. We have to enter into God. We have to seek after him, because so many times we can have circumstances and situations happen around us that can try to slow us down and weigh us down, so that we sort of maybe don't focus on God, or we don't sort of manifest him. Like I can imagine at that time, Dan, when you had that girl, if you had the weight of the world upon your shoulders and you were worried about all sorts of things, and they tell you, you know, about this young girl, and you think, hey, who cares about her? If she knew the troubles I had, flip, you know, she can get on with it. If that's all she's got, just not losing any sleep. See, at that point, sometimes we have to rise above our own problems in our own lives, seek after God, and say, God, despite what's going on in my lives, I'm chasing after you and seeking after you. Speak to me in the midst of my problems, in the midst of what's happening in my life. Speak to me. That is what God wants for our lives. He wants our salvation to be an exciting journey. So that third analogy, where we not only get saved, but we then make sure we keep that thing breathed on by Jesus Christ. In that one, he sometimes, you know, it's interesting. When you're first saved, I see people have the most amazing experiences. I remember my dad, when he first got saved, he was in the church at the time, and he was an elder, and they had these enormous arguments in the eldership meetings. They once had a meeting, went for 2 hours to decide whether Susan could play guitar in church. After this meeting, my dad was really upset. He came home, we were all in bed, it was very late at night. He came home and he kind of just, oh, what am I going to do? He put his Bible down, he flipped it open, and the Word of God said, after the uproar, he went to them and said goodbye, and he left their presence. And Dad was like, whoa, shut the book. It's the first time he'd ever had that happen in his life. That was the thing that was the catalyst for him leaving that church and actually coming and joining our church, because Jesus said to him, you need to leave and you need to move on. I've seen that happen so often, but sometimes people, they have these miraculous God speaking to them, and it's almost like sometimes God steps away a little bit from us. And it's like, I've got 8 grandchildren. One of our grandchildren, we live with her in a granny flat at the moment. She's learning to walk. And I offered up, she starts walking, and I'm backing away. Come on, chase after me. Sometimes God's a little bit like that with us, you know. As we mature, read in Hebrews, are you chasing after God? Are you seeking for him? That's what we need to do. If you read Acts, sometimes you'll see how important it is, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, what God says about that. I want to read to you from Acts 8 and verse 14, what God says about the importance of this. Reading from 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers. They're already believers. Okay, they prayed for these new believers to receive Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received Holy Spirit. In those early years, I was reading the Bible. I'm soaking up this stuff. And this stuff, I'm thinking, how come I'd never heard this before? How come nobody had ever shown me? It's like I didn't have my eyes open to the Holy Spirit to maybe speak to me. But right here, they were baptized only into the name of the Lord Jesus. But they hadn't understood that there was more that Jesus wanted for us. This is the word that God showed the early church, the disciples, how to build the church. He said, you are the 12, or the more than that, but say the 12, who are going to go from here and are going to build my church throughout the world. Yeah. You're going to need something. Yeah. Well, guess what? You're the ones that are going to build the church here in Oberon. You need something. Yeah. You are not going to do that in your own strength. And you can come here and you can sing songs and you can have fellowship with one another all you like. That's all good. And you might pick up a few here and there. But when the power of God falls on this place, when we start walking in his presence, when we start getting those God moments with people, where we start to speak into their lives and people start to say, whoa, what is happening over there? There's a reality about your faith. There is something that's different about you. Yeah, the presence of Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Praise God for that. In Acts 19 and verse 1, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. They received the baptism of John. Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin. Praise God. We're saved from sin when we get saved. But John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That is a very real part of Scripture, the power of God for us. To me, this is what the spiritual life is about. It's not like getting the Mustang and saying, I want leather chairs with that. This is saying, no, I want the Mustang, I want the motor, I want the best fuel you've got, and I want to go in God, in all the power that you have, okay? That's what God is saying. We are to go on this, we are to get this volatile, explosive Holy Spirit in our lives, that you will never be the same when you walk in that power in His life. You know, sometimes I find this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was so important for me. I was a good person. I actually, back in the previous church, I was actually the youth leader at the time. At that time, when I was 17, I wasn't even saved. That didn't make much difference, though. I was still the leader. Anyway, but I realized there had to be more. But so many people, they get scared by the supernatural. How can we as Christians be scared of the supernatural? Our God is supernatural. He is spirit. Jesus Christ, He lives in heaven. We only communicate through Him through something that is supernatural. The presence of the Holy. Our faith is entirely supernatural. So therefore, surely as Christians, we should be comfy with this. We should be walking in it more and more and more, hearing from God, seeing things happen. Back with the driving analogy. See, you guys, for you guys, this is good, the driving analogy. They're getting us ready for the driverless car. You know that. And so many of us are a little bit like, whoa, I am uncomfy with a driverless car. You know, just taking my hands and feet off the wheel. Like, in fact, why don't you hop in the passenger seat and just let this thing go, you know? And everybody's, we've been driving these cars with full control for too long. And so what are they doing? They're actually preparing us. When you get a car now, you've got automatic reverse parking. And so you can sit back, push a button, and the car will park for you. You actually have things now, because I've just got one for Susan. You've got lane centering technology. And so you'll be driving along, and if you start to drift over the lines, the car knows and nudges you back into place. You've got headlights that now, you know, the old thing where you, I remember back when you used to have to press, who remembers the button on the floor, you know, that you used to have, you know, on the firewall, you know, back, that's going back a ways, you know, we used to sort of dip the lights and you still do that. Now the computer in the car does it for you. Susan's got a thing in her car which is automatic braking. And so if you're in traffic or doing less than about 30 kilometers an hour, and if you drop off to sleep or something and your car moves forward, the car stops for you so you don't run into the car in front. You've got the speed control, which regulates itself nowadays. It's not like, remember, you go over the top of the hill and you're getting up to about, you know, 250 kilometers an hour down the steep hill. Now the car brakes on the way down the hill to keep it to the right speed. So many features of our cars. Why are they there? They're getting us ready for the driverless car, because all of those things come from the driverless car. They just couldn't give it to us all in one hit. But for us, we need to know that God wants to move in the supernatural. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to direct us. He wants the Holy Spirit to lead our lives in every step. And, you know, we all use sat-nav now on our cars. They all come with them, tell you where to go and what to do. But see, the trouble for me is, when I'm in Sydney, see, she's already laughing. I used to be a rep. I know Sydney well. I used to drive around Sydney. I am a bit of a shortcut freak. I love to know all the back streets and what's going on. And so when I'm driving my car and the sat nav tells me to maybe go this way, I'll go, no, I don't want to go that way. I know a better way. It's just as well it's not a live voice interaction, because it would be a little bit, I told you to go this way. No. You know, I can imagine having these conversations. I'm constantly getting rerouting as I'm driving the car. But that can sometimes get you into trouble as well. I was talking to Pastor Rick the other day, and we were talking about this very thing, and he said he was coming up the M5 from the airport in Sydney towards home. And as we all do, going up the M5, and the sat-nav kicks in and says, leave the M5 highway, turn on the next exit left. And Rick's going, that's not the way home. I know the way home. You're silly. No, I'm not going to leave the highway. And because he knows exactly where he's going. So he passes past the exit, round the corner, there was a huge traffic jam. He sat there for about half an hour in a traffic jam. He then realized the sat-nav actually tried to take him around the traffic jam and another way. How often do we want to do it our own way? How often do we say, thanks, but no thanks, you know? We have to learn, even in the midst of a conversation, to hear with our inner ear, as it were, the voice of God, so that we can be directed by Him in all the things that we do. We need to make sure that we follow after Holy Spirit, that we believe that He has the power to change our lives. I have seen so many miracles in my own life and in other people around me. I know that the power of God exists. In prayer times, I have heard His voice come and give words of wisdom and words of knowledge over people's lives that have changed their lives, where they've said, how could have you possibly have known that about my life? And I'll say, I just heard it. Just Jesus just spoke to me and told it. Their faith jumps, and then they get a healing or a breakthrough in their lives. That's what God wants for us. So I've decided we need something different in our lives rather than sat-nav. What we need is div-nav. The divine navigation. Okay, so we all need to get some div-nav in our lives. But in that one, are we going to trust it? Because it's more than when you get an opportunity to stand here and pray over somebody's life. See, div-nav is supposed to be every time, every moment of your life. Div-nav is when you're sitting at breakfast with your spouse or your family. Div-nav is when you're sitting at your desk in the office. You know, I won't go on. There's so many analogies I could give of this. God wants to speak to us. He wants to direct us. Are we going to step out of our natural experience and seek after the supernatural power and presence of God? When is the last time you actually asked Jesus to come and blow on the smoldering embers of your spiritual life? For those that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, have been given the ability to speak in tongues, how often do you do that? Do you do that on the way here in the car? Constantly I'm praying in the Spirit saying, God, help me. I don't want to do this in my own strength. I want to do this through the power of the Holy Spirit in my lives. Constantly just trying to pray in the Spirit. It has been such a big difference in my own life. It is a gift. God says that He will do that to build us up in the faith. Well, if God says He's got a gift for us to build us up in our faith, why do we reject the very gift that He wants to give us? That's the power of God to us, but it's only one of the gifts, of the many, many gifts that He has for us. Have you been driving your faith without that power in your lives? Today is the day that I want you to be able to experience God, to see that power come in your lives. I thought about this before, in the room over there, before the service. The musicians said to me, so if you want us to get up afterwards and play behind you with some music, just give us a nod and tell us what to say. But, you know, before I was preparing for this, God said to me, no, I don't want you to do that. That's the norm. We always do that. We always get somebody behind playing music. And God said to me, no, I don't want you to do that. And I'm thinking, why? He said, when the disciples were in the upper room, when they were preparing, or not preparing, wondering what in the world was going to go on, do you think they had music playing, getting them ready for Jesus to arrive? Did they have somebody up there motivating them and getting them hyped up and getting them ready to receive the power of God? They had no idea what was going on. It was the presence of Jesus Christ that came amongst them that changed their lives. And so he said to me, when I talk to the people today about seeking after me, the power of my presence, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's without hype. It's without music. It's without all the trimmings. What it is, it's an appeal to you from God Himself to say, are you willing to seek after me? Because believe me, you need it in your lives. And if you look at people's lives that have experienced it, you can see the fruit in their lives. You can see that. And that for me was one of the things. At the end of the day, I remember saying to God, God, I'm so confused. I want this thing, but I'm scared. And he took me to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. This is just off the top of my head at the moment, this one. And it's a scripture that talks about being a father, how much more if you ask for a loaf of bread, would I give you a stone? You know, if you ask for this, I would give you that. That scripture. And it finishes that scripture, well then how much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit, will I give that to you? And at that moment, I put God on notice. I said, I know you, God. I know you love me. If this power from you is from you, I put you on notice right now. I'm going after it with everything I've got. And if it's you, I want it. If it's not from you, block it right now. It was only shortly after that that I had that breakthrough in my life, and I've never turned back since because I know that that was from God. And so I appeal that to you. We're going to stop now, and we're going to pray. And I just want to say to you, we're going to enjoy some fellowship with one another. But I want each of you, just as I start to pray, I'm going to stand us up. I want each of you to seek after God yourself. And I want you to renew that call in Him, saying, God, I want to hear you more. I want to experience you. That thing of the Holy Spirit that I have experienced before, would you blow on it today? Would you renew that in my life? For those that maybe might be here, because I don't know you, maybe have never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, today is a day that you can actually ask for that and you can pray for that. And after the service, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to ask anybody that wants me to come. It says here that they laid hands on those that wanted it and that the Holy Spirit fell on their lives and they spoke in tongues, and the power of God fell in their lives. I believe that same power is here today. That was back then, 2,000 years ago. But that's up to you. You're the ones that have to seek after that. Is that awkward? Probably. Is it difficult to come and say, hey, that's me. I want it. It takes effort. It takes cost. But then that's the cost of keeping the car fueled up. It comes with a personal cost of seeking after God. Now, it doesn't have to be me. It can be anybody, you know. You could ask Joe to do that. You can ask for another Christian brother or sister, you know. But what I'm saying is, don't let the opportunity go past. God wants to move in Oberon. He wants people's lives to be changed. That one story is only one story of hundreds of lives that God wants to change in this place. We can do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Actually, you've got more than the disciples had back 2,000 years ago. They changed the world forever. Yes, amen. You've got more than 12, okay? Praise God. Let's stand right now. Father, we come to you now, and I thank you and praise you that you have come into each and every one of our lives. That we have the very Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself living within us, the guarantee of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we will have fellowship and time to be able to do all of that for an eternity in heaven with each other. But Lord, right now there's a job to do. And I know, Lord, that you said you had to go so that the power of the Holy Spirit could come, so that your kingdom can come to this earth and that as many people as possible can find their way to heaven through maybe one thing that we can do in our lives. So Lord, right today, I ask for you to pour out your Holy Spirit across this church, Lord. Pour your Spirit out further than this, even across Oberon. You already know those that you're preparing to come into this place. You've already got things in place. Help us to know where you're going. Help us to know those people that you're already touching, Lord. Help us to have those God conversations with people, Lord, that might just enliven somebody. There might be hurt people out there, the Lord, that have walked away from you, walked away from church, and you want to bring them back in. There might be people that are so lost, Lord, that we would never think they get saved. But Lord, you have the power to bring salvation into anyone's life. Lord, I pray for each and every individual here that they would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and hear from you, Lord, and experience you in a whole fresh, in a whole new way. I thank you, Lord, and I give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.